Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings! Welcome to the Dog Poet Transmitting Radio Broadcast and the Hovering Saucer Pod. It's dark out there. Thank God it's not dark in here, what with the Alpha Centauri halogen running lights guiding our way. Of course, the saucer's not going anywhere right now, but I do have it, tuned up with the lights on. Warmth is another thing, however. Even with the sun fully shining these days, the air is cold. I have no explanation for that except that the sunspot activity is as low as it's been from four centuries. And apparently it's this lack of action on the surface of the sun that accounts for the coming and going of ice ages. I imagine there are all kinds of analogies that can be had from the sun's quietude and the cycling descent of the culture. We're not hovering anywhere tonight, as I said. We're simply sitting in the hangar where we keep the saucer because we can't be trusted at the controls at the moment. More about that as we go along. I haven't watched TV, rare instances, since the 70s, and even then it was very intermittent. I haven't eaten meat outside of extremely rare periods for much longer even than that. I haven't believed what the world insists on telling me about what is and is not real about its composition, so I'm not in the same mindscape as most. I could. And a lot of, members of areas are my thought and action, as well as the choices made. They depart from the norm. So in this instance, we'll use the term norm to define the average everyday existence in the majority population and not as an identifier of things normal. Normal left the building so long ago that we no longer have a clear memory of its features and characteristics. I'm guessing that people take the world on its terms, and when they are seeking to get something out of it, and are therefore obliged to play along with some level of consent as to what is real and what is not real. Just as we wear clothing that reflects either our level of fashion, comfort, or employment, we also wear cultural identifiers that place us within certain demographics. I'm guessing that there's more that goes into determining what we are in relation to what surrounds us and those would be things like race, color, religious persuasion, God knows what. And given that there would be something we got persuaded of, well, when you add in all the things that we take for granted about ourselves, you can see there are a whole lot of them, and a person can well be worn down by such things. It hasn't been easy to do the radio shows and blog postings like usual since I got here. All of my stuff is still in boxes, and the tools I used to record with are also packed away, so I have to resort to what's there on the laptop, and that doesn't work sometimes for reasons I have yet to fathom. I hope this comes through this evening. It looks good so far, but it has at other times, too. I'm mentioning this because I suspect it isn't easy for any of us to do much of anything these days because everything really seems to be out of sync, which is why I mentioned the temperature at the beginning of the broadcast. All through this supposed warm season, I've been cold. Maybe it's part of the aging factor, but even when I sit in the sun, I feel it. Another thing I'm noticing is the increasing level of animosity and bad feeling that seems to be coming out of the blue lately. I just got a lot of static from different people about Edward Snowden, whom I have now declared a disinfo shill, because he supports the government position on who did 9/11 and accepts that the Boston Marathon bombing was done by two guys who had nothing to do with it. Why would people who, from what I know about them, do not believe 9/11 was done by Stone Age Afghanis living in caves, why would they be confronting me over my reaction to someone selling a false bag of goods? These are strange days. I brought up the usual weather because it's only one of the unusual weather because it's only one of the strange things I'm experiencing these days. It's June 1st, at least I think it is, and I have a fire going in my wood coal stove, and along with my daily experiences that are out of the norm for me, and I'm out of the norm to begin with, my dreams of late have been filled with a really powerful intensity, and in some cases bordering on the prophetic, but not being a prophet, I'm at a loss to interpret them. I am starting to fully expect something very much out of the ordinary at any moment. It wouldn't surprise me if someone materialized in my living room tonight. Well, I don't have a living room yet, but I'm working on it. A few days ago, I got an email from a close friend, Bud the Birdman, and he told me of this lady, Pia, who I knew for a short while when I was on Maui, told him that I had died. He sent me an email, not saying anything about it, but just to see if I got a reply. And then when he told me about it. And so we cooked up a scheme where he put together a false newspaper article with a picture of me in it, and it's all written in Cyrillic script, so it looks like it came from Crimea or somewhere. Well, what am I saying here? Anyway, he put this news blip together of me, and I guess he distributed it around the people who thought I was dead. And so now we'll see where all that. I mean, you know, people believe all kinds of things. I mean, but you know, where this information came from, I don't know. As far as I know, I'm not dead. I mean, of course, in a sense, I am, given that my awareness is not fully operative yet. So I'm in some form of sleep mode to some degree. What else are you going to do? In this age of near Khmer Rouge political correctness, I hesitate to make certain observations, given that someone will be annoyed at me, but I'm going to go ahead and do that anyway, because I'm not generally known for my restraint in that area anyway. I used to be employed as a resident manager on Maui, and that is what I did to finance my artistic efforts, and it so happens I employed a number of locals as secretaries and at other jobs, and truth be told, they're not generally Einsteins. So it was that one day, probably because I was bored, I told one of my secretaries that Gatorade was made from the skins of real alligators. And that was why it had that yellow and green color, and I went into some interesting tale about it. And I convinced her of this, and that it was really the scales, the ground-up scales of alligators that was in the Gatorade. And anyway, she came back a couple days later and she said, "What you told me is not true, blah, 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 and you, no, no, no." I said, "Well, yes, it is." And it took me just a few more minutes to convince her yet again. So this is kind of, what can I say? Yeah. Well, this is just one of the events I experienced over time that informed me that most people are at a level of cluelessness that I had previously never suspected. As much as I like to believe that I see things in a pretty clear and objective way and that I am not routinely subjective like most people, a lot is hidden from me. I tend to look at everyone like, well, as equal. And when I speak with them or interact with them, I take it for granted they understand me, but I'm learning that none of that is really true. The other day, I was off to a large hardware emporium to buy some construction supplies when all of a sudden I found myself in a kind of hyperspace, which usually only used to happen to me when I was on acid or some other psychedelic. Now this kind of event just comes and goes a lot without warning. I was having a dinner party later that evening, so I had to hit a couple of stores on the way home. And in the process of going to these stores and making my way home, I ran into this stream of troglodytes and misshapen life forms, the like of which I haven't encountered in some time. It was as if every criminal mentality and sexually dysfunctional creature in the surrounding area had decided to come out and run across my path at that very moment. I was seriously taken aback by the appearance of people's features and what was in their eyes, and it was as near as frightening as things can get for me. I don't usually get frightened because of my reliance on the ineffable, whom I expect to handle anything that comes up, and his presence I'm convinced of. This was something, and I was waiting in line when I felt this dark and very unpleasant heat coming at me. I knew instinctively it was coming from the person behind me in line, and I turned around and looked right into the eyes of this ghastly woman who weighed about 400 pounds and whose features resembled something like tortured dough. Our eyes met only for an instant, and then, she turned away as if nothing had happened at all, and I realized it wasn't her, but whatever had been resident in her for that moment. And now, as I reflect on it all, I realize that what I was being shown was that other intelligence come and go in all kinds of people who are so subjective that they were merely empty vessels for any passing entity who wanted to take up residence. Usually, this is hidden from me, and all I see is people, but on that day, I was seeing something entirely different. Same thing happened to me and a few times in the past, once in New York City and also other locations, and almost always when I'm in an altered reality. But now it's as if the usually solid parameters of the day-to-day are no longer solid at all. In my case, they never have been that solid, but at least they've maintained the appearance of it, and now that seems to be going. I remember that in Los Angeles, it was as thin as paper by comparison to anywhere else, and I took that to be a feature of Tinseltown, where not much is real to begin with, and which is distinguished by comparison with everywhere else, even though they are not real there either. By comparison, in L.A., the, what can I say? Exactly. I'm trying to say something here, and I'm not doing a very good job of it. Let me try again. As time passes and we get closer and closer to a certain point in the event horizon, the veils are parting on the same old, same old, and something else is beginning to break through. At the same time, some number of us are experiencing a heightening of awareness which can be very disconcerting. At least it is from my end. And one of the things we have to keep in mind is that when our awareness is altered, then the whole world we knew as it was begins to alter too. As our insight into ourselves deepens due to the force of invisible entities acting upon us, our perception of what we see in the world around us also deepens, and this can have a disturbing effect. What we have to remind ourselves of is that everything we are seeing has always been there. We just weren't seeing it. The truth is that what is going on around us is only shown to us in partial detail, and for many, what they see is near entirely a fanciful projection of their own minds. As one comes more and more into the brilliant and illuminating light of true spiritual awareness, a brand new world begins to materialize in front of us, and we find it is populated by all manner of creatures never seen before. We begin to see portholes in other realms and into other realms and dimensions. We begin to hear voices that use the elements of nature to speak to us upon the sounding board of the ether. If you have told yourself that you are on the path of spiritual discovery or you seek after this, you had better keep in mind one very important thing. Not for the timid and the weak. You also cannot get to certain stages unless you are changed and made suitable for entry, and this means being put through tests and trials that can be decidedly unpleasant. You can't continue on the path without being stripped of every false thing and without also letting go of every attachment that would hinder your continuance. It's one of the other people. You can rise in the air if you're wearing lead shoes. You can dance in the sattvic regions if your head is filled with tamasic darkness. All torpor and illusion must be and will be burned away if you continue. You should know what you are up against. Do not set out on this journey half-heartedly or with mixed intentions. You will find yourself in worse shape than if you had never begun, and the level of disappointment can be keen indeed. This is not to say you cannot attain. Type in "There is a road" and Helen Blavatsky into a search engine and read what she says about it. I've never seen it more clearly put. Regardless of what you might think of her, especially since you've never even met her, what she says there is most certainly true. Once having read it, if you're still determined to go on, you will get help. Remember, it is not you who walks this road, but that which is within you. And this consciousness, which is asleep in most life forms, has many different stages of residing presence and levels of intensity at which one can experience it. You get more of it, the less of you there is. And the more you give yourself away, the more the ineffable will give itself to you. This is cosmic law. The less of you there is, the more there will be of the ineffable. All that most of us know of ourselves is false, isn't even real, and has no lasting permanence whatsoever. Only the spark of the ineffable and the housing of our soul is real. Our hearts and minds in their highest state have a degree of lasting relevance only in that they permit us to experience the ineffable. Neither serve any other useful purpose except to register the meaning and value, or lack of, all of the things we go through on our way to finally becoming aware of the only thing worth pursuing. Think of it. This is the literal truth. Nothing else is worth going after or achieving than in union with the ineffable, and everything we experience has no meaning or worth unless the ineffable is involved. Oh, well. What can I say? You know, I was going to go off on a tangent about something here, and I thought, yeah, you know what? Why even bring it up? You know, I was catching a little flack and static recently from people who, apparently, I don't take them as seriously as they do themselves, you know, and if they have if they kind of disagree with me or something, and I don't like play patty cake with them and go along with them, then I don't, you know, reflect their own sense of self-importance. And the thing is, I don't take myself seriously. How can I possibly take them seriously? But it's amazing how quickly people will fall out with you if you don't do what they want you to do. You know what I'm saying? And this is should be a real indication to people about the difference between acquaintances and friends and people who really care about what's actually taking place and people who are just really looking for self-affirmation from someone who want to be on equal footing with them and don't realize they already are on equal footing with them. You know? What can I say? Well, I said it, right? And I mean, I apologize in a way. Sometimes I'm a little too hasty or too frank with people. But the point is, like, you know, I'm kind of unaware of people's feelings in these matters. I don't have those same kind of feelings. So therefore, I'm kind of unaware of that in other people. And then people get offended or put off because I didn't realize, oh, they've got all these accomplishments and stuff. Which to me, they aren't real accomplishments. Neither are my own, you know? I just don't take it seriously. So I apologize for that, but just be aware of that about me. Wisdom is a gift from the inevitable, given in the course of experiences that serve to be a meaningful lesson. To me, wisdom is nothing more than an accurate awareness of how little one really knows, attended by an awareness of who does know and who gives out all true knowing when it is necessary. You don't have to know anything. All you have to do is know who does know, and this is why the inevitable often picks simple and uneducated people to represent him, her, or outcasts, or those deemed mad by the status quo. Whoa, it's getting late. Well, my friends, yet again, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. Thank you all for tuning in. May you gain a greater awareness of the indwelling between now and the next time we speak. I'm told that thousands of people download these broadcasts every week, but for some reason, I seldom hear from much of the listening public. Far less than the blogs or Facebook, even, and that's fine. It just makes me curious. Okay, that's it. Much love, Lady Nature and my green Tara deer. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Hare Krishna. Hare Akbar. Greetings, Lord Ganesha. Om Amitabha. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha. And Hare! He's long and tall and slender. And he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. Coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view, just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call, designed for everyone. He's here, Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.